Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Roy Masters, 55 years on the radio, and not that that is so important, my length of time, but what I've done or achieve, try to do, and seem to have a lot of success, is helping you to overcome your emotions. And a lot of people think that emotions make you human. I've got to start my program with that, because I can't make a sequence, because different people listen to me every day. So I try to make a mixture of basic stuff so that the person who's listening for the first time will grasp it. And then hoping to have calls on the basic stuff, which you may not agree with, but you should. Because if you don't, you're going to die from what I say you should do if you don't do it. But then I have to show you how to do it. And that is learning how not to be angry and upset. Blah, blah, black sheep, have you any wool, that kind of stuff. How many of you can control your emotions? And how many of you, when you suppress the emotions, think of that as control? Both are bad. You express it, you hurt somebody, you repress it, you start to kill yourself. Psychiatry, if you'll forgive me for being right to the point, is absolutely ludicrous. It has no idea. And I press the psychiatrists who listen to my program and bless them if they understand what I'm saying and can help their patients. But it takes a lot of nothing to get something. Now, you see, I've actually seemed to say something stupid. I always say, if you do nothing right, you'll do nothing wrong. Now, listen how I said that, so that I give you something you can sort of play with, if you like. It all depends on how you put the comma. For example, the only thing I remember in school that was worth anything is in grammar. The teacher says, a comma is very important. Caesar entered on his head was a helmet. If you put a comma there in the wrong place, it says, Caesar entered on his head was a helmet. See? So, if you do nothing right, you do nothing wrong. Now that is my way of introducing the fact that words can confuse you. There's a wordless word in my heart. So what you need about, you learn about words, you can't be bombarded by them and you cannot be taken in by them and you can't dare allow yourself to be pumped up with them. Whether in individual friendship or fiendship or with singing and songs and get caught up in the music and the lyrics, it's all dangerous. Not that you can't listen to good music, but most music isn't good. It is sort of caustic, discordant, and the discordant kind of noise that young people have nurtures, it makes their own discordant self feel better than it should feel. Don't you understand? It's the same thing with everything. Everything rotten about you needs to be reassured that it isn't rotten. Rather than seeing the rotten part of you, the bad part of you, the stupid part of you, the angry part of you, which is really the bottom line that makes everything else, I said. It would be better to see your anger and hostility as the root of everything. It's even deeper than that, and I'm going to go into the depth of it on this program. Now, what I'd like you to do is tell me what your problem is. And I know, I can tell that I have a very attentive audience. And people have been listening to me since the 1960s. And they're still listening to their families. Their lives have been completely changed. But there's 330 million Americans, so if I'm only getting to a couple of million every, all these years, I haven't accomplished what I need to accomplish. But that's why I love what I do. And I'm not going to stop doing it till I run out of God's breath.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Oh, let me talk to you about... I talk a lot about Christianity, don't I? And for a Jewish person like me, that's quite unusual. But I read the Bible occasionally, maybe once a year. It has to fall out in front of me. Or somebody have to give me one and I turn the pages. And I see a series of bad interpretations. Like, lead us not into temptation. Does God lead you into temptation? So when you say the Lord's Prayer, how come that you don't use your common sense and see that that is not translated properly? Lead us not into temptation. How can you accuse God of leading you into temptation? And please don't do this. Lead us away from temptation. That's the right way. See, that's the point I'm making. And you know, love your neighbor as yourself. What does love mean? Means do you love your enemy? Do you love your adversary? What does that mean? What does love mean? It means love don't hate your enemy or don't hate your adversary. It works with both. If it's your enemy, you can kill him and not be angry, upset about it. It just has to be done. And the same thing when you stand up to your wife or anybody else, you say it as a matter of fact. Put that fruit down, Eve, see, so to speak. And you speak with authority. So what's missing in your life is authority. And that authority happens to be the non-spoken word. In other words, you need not to be affected by the spoken word. And the counter to the spoken word, the counter to the effect of it, because you never know what people mean by what they say. Like, for example, with Obama, everybody cheered as he was giving his speech, and just a couple of words that makes the point. So he cried out, "We're going to have a fundamental transformation." And everybody says, "Way!" And those are words. But if you have intuitiveness, like I do, you can see right through it. But when you make a mistake and you get caught up with a lie that's you can twist it any way you want, lead us not into temptation. See? That doesn't make sense. You can't accuse God of leading you into temptation. The devil does that, or whatever that thing is, that is opposite, metaphysically opposite, to the metaphysical creator that created everything. He even created the devil, so to speak. Well, we can discuss that if you want to. We're going to have some calls now. So I was going to do some very interesting things, but I'd much rather take my calls. Thank you. So whatever it is that's bothering you, I can show you how to cure it. I can't cure it for you, but there's something about what I say to you that will make it possible for you to understand something you never understood before. See? Okay, well, now here we are. We're going to talk to Michael in Illinois. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You sound tired. Are you okay?
Actually, I got a little horse in my throat.
Well, good thing is not a leopard. Let's go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I want to, I'm thankful unto God that I've come across you. I'm a Bible student, former Bible student. I actually left Bible college because I just felt like I was wasting a lot of time. And some of it was pride for sure, but some of it was really, I've been over the stuff they were teaching, many times, and I was like,
I'm not following you. I'm not getting into something with you yet. Mm-hmm. Can you make a point rather than give me all the details first? I mean, what ails you? What disturbs you? Or something like that, if you would, please.
Yeah. I'm looking for the next kind of step. I'm brand new to the meditation, and it resonates with my heart. And I'm wondering if there's anything else I could kind of look into.
No. There's nothing you can look into. Something has to look into you.
Right.
To be still a no. See, in the beginning of this program, I said, if you do nothing right, you do nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I opened the program with that. It's a way of saying something. I said to my audience, I don't know if you were listening, the way you put a comma in a place and it makes a difference in what it says. And so my teacher, which is the only thing I ever remember at school, she says, if you put a comma in the wrong place, it will change everything. So you've got to be very careful of translations of your Bible. So the way she said it, the sentence was, and Caesar entered on his head was a helmet. And if you put the comma there, it says Caesar's entered on his head was a helmet. See? Mm-hmm. So you've got to be very careful about translation and translation. Deliver us from evil. In the Lord's Prayer, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But God does not lead us not into temptation is not God. It's the devil.
Right.
So people mechanically will recite that with an insult to God.
Right.
So we've got to be careful with our words. And we just can't mouth words. And you've got to discover that what's in the Bible, especially the Lord's Prayer, especially that, it's essential that you get it right. Lead us not into temptation has got to go. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. That works. But you see, the average person and the preacher only mimics it and misses that point and thousands of others.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I had a few others on. I was going to write them down. I just had a hurry to come to the microphone because we were just starting the program and I wanted to write some of those down. But what I'm trying to say to you, I did not know, I do not know what the person calls, like yourself, what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I don't prepare for what I'm to say, because it's silly. It would be silly for me as a talk show host or as a person to try to figure out what everybody's going to say ahead of time, or what they're going to do ahead of time. You have to wait for it, and when you wait for it, you need to have a response, the ability to respond, not to the word, but to the spirit that you have within yourself that is a wordless word. You need to listen to the wordless word, and then you will see through the words, and you will have the words that are really meaningful, and be able to see where they make the translator makes mistakes, terrible mistakes.
Right.
So yeah, my answer to you is, if you do nothing right, if you sit quietly and not worry about what's going to happen next with your life, just enjoy. Just learn to enjoy the fact that you exist. And so you become aware of the flowers and the bees and the babies crying and the thunderstorms. And, you know, I don't know how to say it, but you need to be conscious, and just conscious, meaning nothing special running through your head. There are thoughts that run through your head, but even then, when thoughts run through your head, they're not very strong. They just simply pass the grandstand of your mind. And every now and then you get, oh, I see that. Or something comes to the surface when you normally would have pushed it down. The awareness is, I see why I'm suffering so much. I'm angry. See? So there's really nothing. I don't prepare for a radio program. I just sit down and wait to see what happens.
You're right about everything you just said.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, an hour from now, a week from now. I'm just, but I'm watching it. I'm looking at the whole Kashmir, excuse the expression. I'm looking at the way Jesus said it. He says you can tell when the thunderstorm is coming, when the storm is coming. How comes you don't see that the signs of the times? See that? Yeah. I see the signs of the times. I see roughly. I can see something not quite right, but I don't know what it is. And if I'm just watching and not making a judgment, oh, he's wonderful, oh, he's wicked. If I can just watch, be a watcher, the answers will come to you right away. Who's that, a dog?
What's that?
There's a noise. Oh, it's a baby.
Sorry. Yeah, and my baby's actually suffering from liver failure.
Oh, that's not good.
No, there's been a lot of good news lately, but...
Is that what you call me?
You know, boy, is that what you call me about? I don't know for sure, other than I'm thankful to hear your voice and have a conversation with you, because I've been seeking. Nothing's worked.
You mean you've been to the doctor? What's the problem? What's the name of the problem?
Oh, definitely. She has a biliary atresia.
What's that mean?
That's
just a noise. What does it mean?
Yeah, the cystic ducts don't flow. The bile is basically being trapped in her liver.
What is entrapped? Bile.
The bile? Yeah, yes. Bile.
How old is he or she?
It's a girl, Mila Grace. She's seven.
And how
old
is she?
7 months.
7 months. Did your wife breastfeed your baby?
No, she tried to.
That's important. That's the first thing I go for. Because there's a chemistry. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a certain colostrum. There it is. Even the animals have that.
Right.
And so, pardon? What was that, David? Is it, David says it builds you immunity against disease, and that's mm-hmm. what's missing. You could get some of that colostrum. You can buy it.
Yeah, I'm talking to a guy right now who actually introduced me.
I wouldn't waste time.
Yeah. Okay.
But the reason why she didn't have any milk. Well, she didn't want
yeah,
to. She didn't want
just
to
get a little tiny bit out, Roy. Yeah.
No, but I'm asking you. Oh, don't go away. Hold him there for a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I just need to look more closely into what you're saying, because you were calling me about why is something from, I don't know what that is on my screen, but so you're talking about Christianity. You should be talking about your baby.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I heard.
Yeah, there's so much I could say, honestly, but yeah, thank you.
But let me ask you a question. Let me finish with my inquiry.
Please.
She doesn't get, the baby does not get mother's milk at all?
No, she's been getting this special formula
called progesterone. That's not good. You got to do something better than that. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Does your wife really love the baby? I mean,
yeah,
very frank.
So. Yeah.
Does she feel that reject the baby somehow?
No, I don't think so, Roy. Honestly, we're just brand new to understanding. Honestly, she's been raised in a really corrupt family household, and I came out of a broken home as well, and so we're kind of new to the truth, to be honest with you.
Well, the truth is perhaps your wife has a very serious emotional problem, which is affecting the outcome with respect to the milk in her breast.
Right.
And other things. Is she a nervous person? Is she an angry person?
She's very anxious, fearful. That.
Well, yes, but you see, that's transmitted to the baby. The baby feels it.
Yeah.
That's a killer. That's a killer instinct.
Mm.
She should be happy that she's got a baby. And the happiness would change things. I have to then define what happiness means, but I think I just give you a sense of it. I wish you'd talk to your wife. If I could have her call me. She needs to call me voluntarily.
Okay.
I don't want to see anything happen to that baby, because I can see that her attitude is affecting the baby. And that attitude may have something to do with you not loving you so much, not liking you so much, or something has gone wrong between you.
Wow.
And the child begins to become affected by it.
Right.
So I know that your question somehow, that noise in the background that indicated you had a child, It made me see. I didn't expect to talk to you about that, but that's what I mean when you ask, what do you do next? I didn't know what I was going to do next.
Right.
I heard that background. I thought it was the dog first. See,
right.
And then I realized you had a problem with a kid. You need to have your wife call me right away, as quickly as possible. I need to help to get her mind better, because everything else gets better.
Wow. Yeah,
she's
doing laundry at a friend's house right now. I can text her your number.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Honestly, everything you said, though, Roy, is exactly, I believe, from my limited and understanding
of women.
Accurate, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You don't understand women.
No, I do understand. She doesn't like me much right now.
The hatred towards you is inflicting the baby. She's got to know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I don't know if she could take that, Roy, to be honest with you, honestly, right now.
I know, but you need to know it.
I know.
You need to know it. And I can't hold that back. And there might be, you know, something that you'd be able to say to her, translated from what I said to you to her.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to lose this baby, do you? I'm not so sure she loves that baby.
No, I love this baby.
You do.
She's a happy baby.
I know, but still, the chemistry of her chemistry is affecting the chemistry of it, too, that she needs to give to the kids, to the child, as well as the love from her heart.
Yeah.
You're a good man. You're a decent man. So in your hands is a reprieve. In your hands, that baby has a reprieve.
Reprieve? I'm sorry.
Yes, a reprieve from your wife.
What do you mean?
Well, it means that she feels secure with you.
Oh, the baby?
Yes.
Oh, this baby can't stay away from me. She loves me.
She loves you. But I understand that. But you haven't got what the chemistry that mother's milk provides, and mother's love.
Right.
See, mother's love.
Right.
The baby sensed the rejection of her mother and loves you. You can see it. I can hear it.
Oh, wow. You can't. And I've said that to so many people. Like, there's just I said it just not long ago before I called. I just met my biological dad for the first time not that long ago, within the last month. And I just talked to him, and so there's a lot of stuff I could say, but anyway, this is the most important, so you're correct.
Yeah, this is important. It's more about the baby now, if you don't mind me saying so. May I suggest when she comes back, you find a moment. In your mind, you need to somehow know that you somehow, I don't want you to vent a conversation, but there will come a moment when it will come out of you automatically, like it came out of me. The way we went instead of talking about you and your problem, I saw the baby, and that's the most important. And the baby loves you because you're a decent kid, decent dad. But the point is, it's your wife that's got the problem with you, and she's got the problem with her own parents. There's something wrong there. That's affecting the baby. And the baby could die from that. That's how serious it is. The symptoms are awful. And you just can't say that it's got kidney this and kidney that, or liver this and liver that. It doesn't cure. The doctor doesn't know how to fix this. But I do. I know how to fix it if she'll listen. But will she listen to me? I don't know.
Yeah, Roy. I don't believe so at this moment. I don't think it's lack of faith. But at the same time, I've burned a lot of bridges. I've been through a lot of religious mumbo jumbo with her over the years. But I've been honest about
my
search. Yeah, but she liked it a lot better when I was a brand new Christian believer, and then I started testing everything. It got on her nerves, and anyways, she's hung in there with me. But honestly, there's been a few moments where I thought she was going to leave because she didn't want to deal with
it's all in the baby. It's all in the baby. The baby's getting it. I don't know. Maybe you can find a way to speak to her and tell her I said so. Okay. Call me back after you've spoken what you need to say quietly. Is it do it? 800-866-8083. 800-866-8883. Oh, here we are again. We have Mike in Delaware. Hello, Mike. I see on the screen you have no motivation to work. How old are you? And how are you, buddy?
Pardon?
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, I guess, given the situation and everything. So anyway, I'm 22. I think you said it. You don't ask my age, but not sure about that one. And right now, you know, I just, when it comes to anything career related, I basically have like no motivation. Mostly because I'm either think everything is terribly boring or will be terribly boring, or the few things that I find interesting, I'm so afraid of failing and looking weird and what people would think that I'm too afraid to do it. Well, and I don't know how to get over that.
Well, I think that right away you've given yourself away. You're worried about what people think.
Right.
And that robs you of intuition and creativeness. Why do you worry about what people think? What caused that to happen? I don't give a damn what people think about me.
In, I guess, high school, I was homeschooled, and my dad really, my dad was fairly quiet and reserved. And when I stopped being homeschooled in high school, I realized I didn't know how to make friends. I didn't know how to deal with people and make friends my own age. So I had to spend, you know, 3 years between finding people on the internet who would teach me how to do it, and a lot of trial and error.
Why do you need it? Why do you look for answers in the world when the world took you away from the intuition you had when you were born? You had something when you were born. There's something in you that calls me and recognizes me as some kind of authority that's different to other authorities. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called. It would be an idle thing to talk to me if I'm one of them. So there's something about you that, about me that draws you to me. And so...
Well, this is, I'm calling my dad, he's a long-time listener, and apparently he talked to you, he called in a while ago. And he recommended I call you. This was his recommendation. He thought you'd be able to help.
Well, I'm sure that you're either spoiled rotten or you've been bullied to go to school when the school curriculum was jaded and crooked, and like it always has been for the last God knows how many years I've been in this country. And so it's boring. School is dangerous to your health. Isn't there something? I mean, isn't this? How do you, if you're 22 years old, how do you live? How do you eat?
I still live at home. I'm getting through college. I've been at home.
Well, what are you studying in college?
I'm getting my master's in business administration.
Well, why didn't you start a business? It could be a lemonade stand. It could be anything. All you need is an idea, and you do it. Hold the line, don't go away. I can give you a few tips.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
So, are you spoiled?
You hit it on the head with a mixture of being spoiled and being bullied.
So, the who's the bully? Your father or your mother?
Oh, shoot, you meant my parents. I thought you meant like I got bullied a lot in high school and a little bit in college. I guess you're talking about my parents bullying me?
Yeah. Wait.
I guess
are you spoiled? Does your mother spoil you? Does your father spoil you? Because it seems to me you have some kind of interest that you will want to follow. It would seem like I can't imagine a person not having a hobby as a kid and evolving it into something you love to do?
I played video games all the time. Like, when I was in high school, I'd spend every waking moment that wasn't given to schoolwork either doing taekwondo or playing World of Warcraft.
Playing what?
It was a video game, World of Warcraft, but what I guess the name of it doesn't matter. But I played lots of video games and did martial arts.
Well, and a nickel will make a crumb of bread.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. You're not. Where's your head? Video games. How does that make a living for you?
Oh, it doesn't.
Well, it's a distraction from. It's a distraction from an empty life. You somehow lost your way. And then I have to ask the question, who screwed your head so that you had to forget what was wrong with you by playing with video games? That's what kids do. They just play video games. Video games become addicted to it, but they run away from what's wrong with them that way. And it's a drug addict. It's like a drug. Everything that takes you away from everything... everything you do that isn't natural, and I mean natural meaning intuitive. I can't remember a day in my life that I wasn't building something and learning something, chemistry, machinery, electricity, as a kid, just playing until I found out what I wanted to do, and then I got an apprenticeship. Learning to cut diamonds, which took me 4 years. But then I went on to other things. One thing leads to another thing. But playing video games is a distraction from your miserable existence. You've got a miserable existence. But you haven't got any balls either. You don't know how to stand up for yourself. So you sit down and play games and distract yourself from the purpose of existence, because you don't know where it is. There's something wrong with your parents, and I need to kick their ass. Is your dad there I can talk to? Because what you need to be done is to thrown out into the street and get hungry, and then you'll maybe want to do something, or you can curse everybody and find a place where everybody will give you something to eat. There's a purpose in life, and it isn't playing video games, you stupid fool. That's what you need, is a kick in the ass. And there's no way I can tell you anything better than that.
Well, hold on. I've been working. When I played a lot of video games, that was in high school. I'm now in college.
College is not going to do you any good. What are you going to do with it?
I have a full-time job right now.
You do?
I do. I'm working full-time at a bank in their sales development program.
But that's not what you're not telling me that. You're telling me that you play video games. That's all you said.
I was just trying to give you some background on, why I had issues. You're saying, why was I messed up?
Then you're misleading me.
I apologize. I wasn't trying to.
Okay, so but you still don't like to go to work, right?
I'm learning to hate it less, but I don't want to stay in that job.
Why don't you try this? Why don't you appreciate that you got a brain, that you're aware, and that you got a job, and save your money to start. If you're learning about. What's the skill that you're learning, please, if you don't mind, say it again?
It's a master's in business administration with a concentration.
Yes, well, then what you need to do is get a little business going on the side and make what you've learned work. And then you'll have some fun. You can do it in the daytime, you learn, and in the evening and the weekends, you got a little business going. And find out what that could be. Look around and be creative. And not just manage somebody else's business, but manage your own business.
Right, but my issue and the reason I called was I can think of, like, for me, I really like politics. Love politics.
Politics, we don't need any more politicians.
Okay. Well,
they're all scumbags. Okay, if you haven't seen anything, they're both sides. They're scumbags.
Fine, but...
I've got to go.
Then I'm just, like, that's the... Okay, politics...
You talk to him,
thing.
David. Okay, pardon? You think you can get something out of him? You do it. Go ahead.
Out of who?
Okay, here, it's David.
The David will talk to you.
Mike?
Yo.
Look, you like politics? I used to hate politics, but I started working in the talk radio industry, and then it became interesting to me. So I think what my dad is saying to you is simply find something that you love to do and do it, and
that's
it doesn't
it.
Matter what it is, but
it is.
Make something out of it. So if you
that's
like politics, you know, you could start a marketing campaign company that helps people who are being lied about tell the truth about who they are.
There you are.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah, but what I've been trying to get to is
well,
I'm
won't make
too
any money.
Afraid to do any of that, and I don't know how to get over the fear.
He doesn't know how to get over the fear.
Okay,
no. That's good.
Now that's a different story. And so that's a different story. And so you started off on the wrong foot. I would suggest to you that you need to stop being angry with everything. See, because you said you don't like your school. You're bored. And you have to, but you have to learn. But why can't you step back and stop resenting your learning curve? That's all. It's hate that makes you fearful. If you don't love something, if you don't appreciate the fact that you have an opportunity to be educated in that business, but you need to put it to work. And so you need to be grateful that you're in a free country. You need to be grateful that you have a roof over your head, that you have an opportunity to, if you like that business that you're in, that you have a business of some kind so that you can grow it. And before you know it, you may not even need to want to finish your college education because you're so far ahead of it because you're learning it by the skin of your teeth is by doing it. That's all. But you need to also see why you have lost your confidence. One of your parents did that to you. Now you have to tell me which one. Which one has confused you?
I want to say my dad because he's had far more effect on my life than my mom.
And is it bad or good?
Both. I mean, my mom kind of started being a non-factor once I figured out I didn't really have to listen to her if I didn't want to. And it became the fact that it orders only mattered if my dad backed it up. So, for example, if my mom said something, I could just argue with her, she'd get mad, storm off, and nothing happened.
Okay.
If my dad backed it up, then I had to do something. But, so, I kind of consider her kind of a non-factor, and that's why I put her on my dad.
Well, it doesn't answer my question. I say you've been confused by someone who has the power to confuse you and take away your confidence in yourself. Who makes you angry enough to do that?
My father.
Okay, so how does he do that?
Well, we argue a lot, and at least from when I deal with my dad. It's kind of already predetermined. If you don't agree with him, you're wrong.
He's a bully. He's a bully. That's what your father is, a bully. And now the key to that is to see that you hate the bully. You resent him. But it begins to... the anger towards him causes you to become... to take on his viewpoint. It always will be that way. Anytime you allow yourself to be bullied, and you can have an argument, but the person who you're having an argument with has anger, and therefore it upsets you. And upset means to turn upside down. It means that you can no longer function from who you are as you came into the world with common sense, and you're beginning to lose who you are to what he is coming through him. The pressures of life is coming through him to you. He's taking you away from unfolding like a flower. And you need to stop. Let your father say what he wants, but if you don't agree with him, just speak up to him. And if he throws you out of the house, okay, throw you out of the house. You need to save some. If you got a job, then you could go on your own. I think you're better off to be on your own and leave your dad. That's what I'm saying. You're just going to keep arguing with him, and pretty soon he's going to put his nature into you. He's going to keep confusing you. Unless you could say, excuse me, Dad, with all due respect, I don't believe what you're saying. Let's stop talking about it then. I'm going to keep this position. But you let him get to you. You let his way of life become yours, whether you like it or not. And you're suffering from guilt. And when every time you get upset with your father, you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, you feel like you want to make up with him. And you want to end up agreeing with him. That is, if you understand politics, you'll recognize that as Marxism. It's using intimidation to demoralize you so that you begin to adapt the bully's point of view and lose your own real one. That's what's happening. So if you want to learn about politics, your father is one of them. He's demoralizing you. That's all there is to it. You need to speak up to your father and let him throw you out. But don't be angry when you do this. You need to go to my website and get a copy of 7-Minute Meditation. I will show you how to find your true self, the child that you were, then when you understood all these things, until your father came along and put his will upon you. And so you're confused and confounded and can't function for yourself. And so you take on your mother's identity too. See? We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me hold my friend here, Mike, just for a second. I just want to mention that, how can I say this? I opened the program by saying life is very simple, and all you need to do is to be still and know. See, all you need to do is find out how to find what you had. Intuition, that is. Intuition, not out-tuition. The ability to recognize crap when you see it, stupidity, bullying, appeasement, seduction. The ability to see all these things and not overreact. Because the degree that you overreact, you start to get upset, is the degree that you adopt the world's view as from your parents. Or from anybody who is a bully or a seductive individual. And so that's all there is to it. You need to get some balls, excuse the expression, and speak up to your father with clarity and calmness. Say, Father, I've had enough now, if you don't mind. You've been bullying me a long time, and I should have spoken up to you a long time before. So let's not argue anymore. I just want to face you with this. Because I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm just going to go about my life. Thank you very much. If you want to speak to me, don't try to confuse me. And you find your own words. And if he throws you out of the house, you got a job, what better? You're going to be stuck there forever if you're not careful. And you won't be able to speak up to anybody. You have to go through life. If you don't speak up to your dad in the right way, you won't be able to speak up to anybody in the right way. He's setting a pace for you where you can't speak to authority. And you need to speak up to authority. That's what you need to do. Now, I'm speaking to you in authority that's not quite the authority of the world, the teacher, the rabbi, the preacher. I'm speaking to you to counter. My voice is not going to put you down. I'm a tally-ho kind of person. I'm hoping to awaken you to neutralize the bully of your father. That's it. I'm neutralizing that.
Okay. I have one kind of question with this, because it's not that I don't speak up. I guess it's more that I overreact and do it in the wrong way.
No, your overreacting is the problem. It's the overreacting that's got to go.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I was just going to say, look, I'm going to let you go now because there's not much I can say. You need to speak up, and you need not to be afraid of what your father says, but you need to be gracious. You need to be firm, not angry. And the angrier he gets, the calmer you get. You have to learn that first. Because if you don't get that, you will never get anywhere in life. You'll be a basket case. And you're headed for that. You're a very bright kid. I can hear it. A very bright person. But you're letting your father bully you into submission and guilt you into going along with him.
Okay. So it was meditate, stand up to my dad, and then now, do you recommend if I should move out or only move out if he kicks
no,
you, me out?
You will. What will happen. You can stay there, but you may be thrown out. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. Never worry about the outcome, as long as you know how to speak up for yourself in the right time and not have any anger. And meditation will take all your anger away and bring forth some good. Bring forth the what I call the unspoken word. There are two kinds of words. One is the language, and one is counter to the language, but understands it and overcomes it. It's an intuitive knowing. It's intuitive vocabulary. You don't know what you're going to say next. You don't know what you're going to do next. It doesn't matter. It will come out right.
Thank you for your time, Roy.
You're welcome. I didn't mean to be mean to you.
No, it was all right. I wasn't. Some of it I deserved, even if it was a couple years late.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we got somewhere with you, and don't say you need to approach your father. Say, look, Dad, I've always said the same thing, but you have to find your own words. Say, Dad. The way you can approach him, he says, Dad, I've done something wrong. I'm very guilty. I've done something wrong. He says, oh, really? Yes, he says, I have a secret hate towards you. Oh, really? And I'm sorry for that, but you are hateable. And you take him like that. He says, what do you mean hateable? Because you keep pushing me and you're confusing me. You're not reasoning with me. You've got too much power. You're pushing me. And I'm overreacting, so I'm losing who I am. I won't be able to speak up to people because if I meet anybody like you, I'm going to give in to them for the rest of your life. Don't you understand? He's setting you up for other people. He doesn't know he's doing it. So you said, but Dad, I know you don't know what you're doing it, but you're doing that to me. I just realized that I just talked to Roy Masters. Maybe you need to talk to him too. And to see what happens. I'm not saying you should say those things exactly. But you need to be very bold and gentle and firm, and I mean it. And if your father gets really angry, just say, well, let him get angry, let him scream and yell at you and stay calm. And then he'll feel so ashamed of himself, he'll come back and apologize or throw you out. But whatever that is, that's the way you go.
Roy, the ironic part is he recommended I talk to you.
Well, that's right. Now you're talking to me. Now I'm going to tell you how to talk to him because he never told me about the way he spoke to you. So I'm assuming that you're on the receiving end, and he doesn't know he's doing it. Even Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Even though nails were going into his hands and feet, he said they didn't know what they were doing. The average person does not know, the average parent does not know how to bring up their own kids anymore. You need to speak up to your dad. I got kids that speak up to me. I like it. They should speak up to me, but do it in a proper way. And not with anger and looking down at your nose at your father. You need to speak in a way that makes him realize he's done wrong to you. He's not speaking, he means well, but he's not doing well. That's all I'm saying to you. I'm saying that to every kid that's listening to my program. Got to go. And I'm glad you called me. It was
again,
a nice little tangle
time.
First, but I think I've hit the spot with you just now. I'm quite sure if you understand that you must speak up to your dad without being upset. And your dad should encourage you to do that, but he shouldn't need to. You should need to have the courage to, whenever he starts to push you and confound you, and you start to get irritable, then he starts to, instead of helping you, as he's trying to do, thinking that's help, he's only going to confuse you till you can't function. And you'll be broken for the rest of your life from this. You've got to deal with this properly. And if you can deal with your dad right, you'll need God within you, because he hasn't got him in him yet, if that's the case. And so you need to find that spirit that speaks to authority. It doesn't matter who that is, but you'll be programmed to respond to everybody that sounds like your dad. And you'll always be giving in, going along to get along. You're not going to find the purpose of life. The purpose of life is within you, the courage enough to speak to authority. It will come what may. Okay, got to go. Nice of you to call. It's very nice. There it is. Like just a finishing touch to the program. Well, I wanted to talk about something else, but it came in this way. I'm looking for something more substantial. Something that goes wrong with you and nobody can fix it. That's the stuff I like. That's the if you can get away and you can fix it some other way, good luck to you. But if you can't fix it, and you're dying from it, and you're suffering from it, and somehow know it's psychological or psycho-illogical, this is the program to call. So I'm going to give you the phone number, 800-866-8883. Those of you who wish to support my program, thank you very much. It's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. It's been a very interesting program. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't deep. It wasn't substantive all the way through. But I did catch a few things. It's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. That's the Foundation of Human Understanding. Same name on the website, FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. And also the phone number, the office, weekdays, it's 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227, and ask how to get the meditation, a seven-minute meditation. 7 minutes of your time, a couple of times a day, will open your eyes and give you the strength you never had from within. The strength within and the unfolding from within, like a flower in the sunlight. Okay, right back.